Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah. But one of the things that was really impressive for me was when you were doing your, we were doing our fireside chat and we were talking about being neurodivergent and the crowd seemed to be really focused on that. They were like feverish to understand. And it's like, I told you, I got diagnosed in April of this year. And as a result, it's just given me language for what I've known the whole year, my whole life that there's been an experience.
Yeah.
But it seems to happen to more people than we realize. And I feel like we haven't quite got to a point where the conversation is able to be had in a healthy, safe way.
Yep.
It's still a little bit, people are a little bit like dismissive. They conflate it with mental illness or they just think it's just people just making stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, how did you find talking about it in that particular space and platform? Because I assume you didn't plan, it wasn't the focal point of what we were talking about.
Yeah, but people just had loads of questions.
Yeah, how was that
for you? Which I appreciated. I'm so open to talking about it. I'm the sort of person, some people get diagnosed with ADHD and then they make it their online brand. Mm. Like they make it like, you know, I am ADHD Sally or whatever. Like they really lean into it. But I wasn't comfortable with that, particularly because my interests change every 6 weeks. Like, you know, 1 minute I'm like, everyone do a quiz. The next minute, I'm never doing that quiz again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not going to make this thing my brand because I'm not going to care about it in 2 weeks, even though I'm going to have it forever.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be interesting as a topic to discuss continuously.
It becomes gimmicky though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's like, that's the problem, I think. It's become like an attachment that people use almost like to popularize themselves, which
is good. 100%. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. But it's still something I want to talk about because I still feel affected by it. And there's a lot I want to get off my chest. And so I was doing a lot of freelancing at the time. So I wrote an article for Refinery 29, which was like my experience with ADHD as a Black woman. And for me, I was like, this is going to be not the only thing, but pretty much the only thing I'm going to say about this. And it's a very kind of thorough piece where I really get into what I was like growing up, what I was like in school, what my friendships and relationships were like, and then how I decided I was going to get diagnosed. And that piece was just like, I still get people sharing this piece to this day.
I want to read this piece.
In 2020.
I need to read that piece.
But it was like, it was the best way for me to communicate it because it's something that will continue to live on and people still read and still share and still reference. And I basically wrote that piece and that was it. And if, you know, people had questions, I would answer the questions. If I was starting medication, I would say on Instagram, so medication, but I tried to weave it in as much as possible with what I'm doing regularly, so it didn't feel like this was a whole new thing I was developing. And so that made me feel really comfortable talking about it because I didn't treat it any differently to any other topic.
What's really interesting because I had a similar type of experience. So I basically was doing events, went quiet for about 8 years, and then came out with Dope Black Dads. And Dope Black Dads was just about how I felt about being a man and a dad at a particular time. Then once I got diagnosed, I understood the reason why I felt that way about being a man and a dad at that time is because of ADHD. So inherently, I feel like I wish the ADHD diagnosis came before that. Then, to be fair, it wouldn't exist, I don't feel. I think I would have just understood and gone on a different journey with understanding what that means. But you're right, in terms of like creating a sort of this idea of collecting badges, where it's like, I'm a dad man, and I'm a challenged person, so I'm challenging those things. And then it's like ADHD. And it's like you start realizing that you become almost like not a real person.
Yes.
And it does feel quite gimmicky. It feels like you're just on this thing of like bandwagoning. But to be honest, in my discovery, it was like I was quite astounded that I got to 39 before I had been diagnosed.
Yeah.
Like that's a long time to go where no one was just like, hey, have you ever thought about... And it was only because someone in Dope Black Queers, and I will forever love Talia for just pointing me into the right direction. She was like, have you ever just thought about have you ever considered it? Yeah. And I was like, what? I had to Google it and be like, what actually is it? And then, you know, when you read the symptoms and you're like, that,
yeah.
Oh, maybe. Then you start going on TikTok, and as soon as you put it into TikTok, you have it whether you know it or not. It's like the constant diagnosis and the things that show up. I was like, wow, this is crazy. So I just came to the conclusion. Then I got a formal diagnosis, and the guy was like, even in the fact that how late you were to this meeting, through time blindness, probably tells me we'll do it anyway. And I was like, right, but like, because basically, like, the one thing that happens to me often, I'll have a meeting at 5 to 4, and then I'll be like, I'll close the notification because it gets in the way of my interface.
Yeah.
Then it'll be 10 minutes past 4. Always. Then I jump on this call, and they're like, oh, we left that.
I saw an email of that for you yesterday.
Yes, there you go. See, so it happens all the time. Yeah. So I'm like, I have to learn to not beat myself up about it and be like, it's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
But what I realized is it used to infuriate people who did not understand. They were like, you don't respect my time. And I'd be like, look, it's not even, but it just happens. It happens to whatever it is. Mostly things that I don't want to do. Even more so. But it just happens. So I think it's like, it's a real challenge when you're trying to go through it and figuring out how do I make it have a meaning to me without overtaking my life.
Yeah.
Do you mind just telling us, like, when did you know, or when did you think it was happening for you? What part of your life it was happening?
So I got diagnosed in 2020, and so this is obviously peak pandemic, but like I was in a job, and it was the longest job I'd ever had, and it was a year, because I've never lost that long a job, because after 2 weeks I'm bored, after 3 months I'm like, get me the hell out of here. And I was just never that sort of person, and I kind of always had a feeling it was like this. I remember in school I didn't get bad grades, but I used to work like 27 times harder than my peers and maybe just scrape what they were getting. And I used to, you know, be in the library for hours and hours a day, lots of caffeine tablets, energy drinks. I was very unkind to myself when I was young, because I believed that I was like slower than my peers, or I wasn't intelligent, or I wasn't working hard enough. Put a lot of pressure on myself. And when I used to kind of talk to, like, you know, pastoral stuff about this, and, you know, I was in like counseling when I was very, very young as well. I was like diagnosed with depression, and they put me on like sertraline and citalopram, and I was taking all these pills and doing all stuff, and I was like, but this isn't really this isn't helping me. Like, you're telling me I'm depressed, and they're giving me these tablets, but I'm still experiencing the same things. And so I eventually just stopped taking all of that stuff, because I was like, I don't think this is doing anything for me. And it wasn't until I got into work and I saw another Black woman online talking about her ADHD diagnosis, and it just felt so similar to what I've been going through. And so then I was like to my workplace, like, look guys, you notice it, I notice it, we're both not having a good time here. I was like, guys, I think it's ADHD. And I was like, the wait list on NHS is like very, very, very long. And like, will you pay for my private diagnosis? And they were like, yeah, of course. Obviously, getting an ADHD diagnosis is the most unfriendly ADHD kind of process. Lots of forms, lots of emails, lots of scheduling.
It so is, isn't it?
Getting evidence.
Exactly. And that stuff, you know, that just delayed me more and more and more and more and more. So like, by this, from when they approved it to when I actually, you know, went and sat down with the physician for that 2-hour meeting, it was a long time. And when I got my diagnosis, I was like, boom, okay, time to quit my job. And they were like, what? They were like, no, we could make it work. And I was like, I actually, now that I have this information, I need to start my life again from zero. I was like, I can't go on like this. Because I spent all these years in like traditional workforces that operate in a way that is like the complete antithesis to how I work. So I went through my whole working life feeling like I wasn't smart, like I didn't know how to work. I saw my peers, you know, go into banking jobs and consulting jobs and get promoted. And I was just like floundering in all of these jobs I was doing. And I was like, okay, everything needs to just end now. And I quit my job and I moved into my grandma's garage, and I was like, we start from zero. And like, I obviously really appreciate them for still wanting to keep me on, but I was like, I need to develop systems and methods that make me feel good about myself and make me feel supportive, and either find a workspace or create a workspace for myself in which I can thrive. Because it's sometimes, yes, I believe all organizations and institutions can change or whatever, but sometimes it's just they're not capable of changing in a way that fits you. And maybe in 20 years' time, when we are much more clued up about how workplaces can operate to support neurodivergent people, sure. Mm-hmm. But for now, the environment is not good. And I've worked so hard on myself in all of these years since leaving the workforce. And I just feel so much better about myself that I don't know if I ever see myself going back again.
Well done, you. On that point, it's so interesting because I've got someone in my team who's ADHD. And I think I have to individually manage them. And I just don't think corporations, like it's almost like not a corporation. It's like an individual thing. You have to really understand that person. You have to really empathize. Correct. And it takes a whole rethinking of the work structure, what they go through, when they might work, how they'll deliver work. Yeah. It's like you almost have to completely rip it up and just go, okay, how are we going to work together and what's best for you? And I just don't think corporations are ready for that.
So can I just ask, do you, because you're individually managing this individual, do you find that you're getting better results out of them?
Absolutely. I mean, the relationship we have is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's because I fully understand the way they work and we're completely honest. And they've actually said to me, I've never been this honest before, you know, and we can. And when they're having moments where they're completely overwhelmed and they have to have a day, I'm like, you're going to have a day where you just need to sit with that and you need to feel that and don't worry about it. Tomorrow you are going to smash 10 pieces out in an hour. You know, like that is how that's how their brain works. And they're like, thank you so much. And that's how our relationship, but it is a rethinking because it's like, you can't be like, you need to be in at this time and you need to deliver this at this time and everything needs to be
Do you know what? It's so interesting. I'm so glad people like you exist because I know in the corporate space, even if they acknowledge that you are neurodivergent or whatnot, they in HR or your line managers, they may know that, but they may not release that information to the rest of your team.
Yeah.
So like you said earlier, you know, some people don't understand why you do things. Mm. And so they'll use that against you. So all of a sudden now you are like the difficult one in the
and then I'd be in black on top of that. Hey,
exactly.
I'm not gonna let you people bully me.
Instead of it being a part of your inclusivity and inclusion, it's actually you feel more separated from the department. And I definitely felt like that within like
and
my
vulnerable
space.
I imagine which is not good.
Definitely.
I'm realizing why I've been sacked from so many jobs.
What's happening?
It's true,
it's basically it took me a while, but I was getting sacked from all these jobs, and then I was like, it must be me, you know. And then one day I was like, cool, from now on I'm gonna be myself in these jobs. And then what I started having to do was like, because I can read people's
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Body language and that a lot better than most people can. And that's how I would just tailor my personality in that space where no one could bully me. So then I'd start getting left alone. And then I would just do the job and they realize, oh, this guy's actually really good at the job. And that's what
hard,
I would have
though,
to do.
That feeling that you have to just be alone and almost, it's so tough.
But my thing is that I always tell people, even if you realize you're having a different experience to what you think you should be having, it's an area just to go and ask. Because inherently, when you find out, it takes the mental pressure off you to adapt to all these environments. Because if you try to measure yourself against anything normal, you will find that you are under indexing. Yeah. And then you now feel like you're failing. So now you're just under pressure. Yeah. I've got to do this. Why haven't I done this? Yeah. I should be better at this.
Yeah.
But when you start to understand that there's a fundamental reason and you accept. So I had a similar moment. So my career, I never made it past the probation. So I worked at all these big companies and for maybe 7 years, didn't make it past probation. Worked for myself for 3 to 4 years, was in music and doing different things. Then I was like, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Then I went back into the work, did 2 more jobs, got fired, to the point that if you put a calendar invite in my diary on a Friday at 4, I just have tremors. I'm getting anxiety because I feel like I'm getting fired. Mm. And I'm that's sick of getting fired. I mean,
that's crazy.
And you're such an exceptional person.
Right. No,
so hear that,
it's always that's behind performance.
Crazy. Yeah. Like, that's just crazy.
And that anxiety is real.
Yeah. It's so real.
You
so
know the Outlook chime?
Mm.
I had to switch that off.
Yeah.
Like I have nightmares about the Outlook chime.
Just the sound of it.
Yeah, literally.
So what's really interesting is by the time I think I got a job that I just really liked. It started off, I think it was Manchester City, Samsung, into WPP. So that run was, I just said, fuck it.
Mm.
Like, I'm just going to enjoy this. And if it doesn't work, I don't really care. But I'm going to enjoy it. I'm tired of going there and trying to read and understand a situation. This is why you get so good at assessing people, because you're scanning for scents and for patterns.
Mm.
Yes.
But then the problem is that people operate in the gray all the time.
Yeah.
So you learn people, but then you're almost like, so the pattern is basically, so then everyone just lies about stuff. Like, whereas I'm quite comfortable with the truth. I don't have a reason to lie. Yeah. But when you tell people that you don't lie, they believe that you're lying.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing where you're just like, no, I'm just telling you, this is what I am comfortable doing. This is what I think. This is what I'm not doing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's a trick. It's like, you're doing this so that you think I'm doing. So it comes into a massive game. Mm. And I think you destabilize people with your consistency and your like freedom.
Yeah.
So that becomes anyway a whole experience. But when I push my fuck it button at work, my career just went like this.
Yeah.
It just went so, so quick to the point I was a bit like, this is overwhelming. Like, I grew so much and I ended up running a global team and strategy. And I was like, I'm burning out. Mm. If I get on one more plane, one more pitch, I'm not going to make it. So I tried to quit and be like, I'm leaving. And they were like, you ain't leaving.
Yeah, real talk.
I was like, no, it was like January and I quit. And then I had a 3-month notice. I had to wait till to March. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to take a break. And so they were like, it's fine. Just keep working around. You stick around as long as you want. If you want to come back, you just text us. And then obviously I my last day was a Friday. And then on Monday, Boris was just like, everyone stay at home. Mm. So it literally happened like that. So I sat at home for 2 months, twiddling my thumb. I'm like, this is going to be fine. Then I got bored.
Yeah.
I was like, I wish I was on a Zoom meeting right now. So I realized that like I had to get back into work. And then from August, when I started Beloved, August 2020, to the end of the year, I worked 17-hour days, 7 days a week, launching this company. So I went straight into a hyper-focus. So I got 2.5 months off, but I then went straight back into the my old habits for my own company.
Yeah.
But it's different when you do it for yourself. The fact that I can work 17 hours for myself, I can't do that for anybody else.
No,
so it is very, very difficult. So it's great to hear that story. And I hope people are listening and realize if they find that disconnect, that they just go and investigate what it is.
Sure.
100%.
I don't really have any key things that you think people should know and take away and be like, look, just be aware of some things. These are some traits, some behaviors that you might be aware of.
I would say that the biggest thing for me when it comes to ADHD and how it affects me personally has definitely been in my kind of interpersonal relationships.
Mm.
I think that has stood out. I mean, yes, obviously work is a huge place, but also that fear of rejection, how you deal with rejection, very difficult. You know, when you grow up receiving so many negative messages about yourself because you have this thing and you don't know that you have it, you kind of just start to see yourself as inherently a bad person.
Mm.
And so then when you believe that your whole life, you grow up and you kind of, not that it's a chip on your shoulder, but you're very wounded. Yeah. So like you said, scanning, recognizing patterns, being hyper aware of your environment, you are trying to make sure you know everything about everyone and everywhere you're at so you can avoid any sort of negative interactions or feelings. Because when you're wounded like that, it sticks with you and it applies to kind of every area of life, both work and interpersonal. So that was a big thing. When we did the event, loads of people were very there are loads of questions about medication. Mm. And I know, particularly in the Black community, I know that this is a thing. Mm. And I would kind of say to people, there is no one drug that is a one trick pony. There are different types of ADHD medication. There are, you know, stimulants. Some can be more addictive than others. There are non-stimulants, or you can not go down that route. Like I have been on medication, but I've also been in therapy for many years. I've had ADHD coaching. Like I've kind of explored every single option available to me, and so I would implore people not to feel pressured to go down the medication route, but if they do, just know that there's a lot of options for you and that you're not going to get it the first time, and you'll have to, you know, go up in a drug to see how much you can deal with and how much you, the minimum dose you can have. So people tend to think, oh you say I have ADHD to your GP and they just throw some Adderall at you and that's the end of it. Like it's a long process, so mentally prepare yourself for that if you want to go down the official route. And if you can't or you don't, however you feel about yourself is valid. Like a lot of people doubt it, but I think self-diagnosis is just as valid. If you're just developing systems and habits that work for you and support your brain and your mind, then do it. Like it's not costing you anything if you believe you have this and you organize your life in a way that supports you. But all formats are valid, and just pursue it and don't be afraid, basically.
Are there any natural medication that you could use for your ADHD?
I mean, well, this is the thing. I was talking to a scientist who is also has ADHD and is an ADHD coach and runs an ADHD podcast.
Yeah, because I'm a huge herbalist. So well, for me, I'm like,
I love that.
No, real talk. I am.
So. I don't want to be like everyone buy this thing. Yeah. But like one thing I would say is that I am also very much in my that bag. Yeah. If you go on Reddit, there's r-nootropics, and nootropics are basically like supplements and like things that people kind of put together to help with brain health, and it's like natural ADHD remedies. Like, you know, some people are really big into it, others aren't. You know, if you go on Amazon, there's one called Focus that's really good. Mind Lab is a good one. Brain Food is another good one. So there are loads of brands that do these kind of nootropic products that are supposed to be really good with like helping your brain function, paying attention, staying alert.
And microdosing.
Microdosing is a huge thing. Obviously, all of the mushroom brands that are coming out now that are like, I'm very into that. I'm deep in my wellness bag. Yeah. So I'm like very much into all that stuff. But it's each of their own.
Shrooms?
Pardon?
Are you doing shrooms?
No. They're mushroom powders. They're not like the hallucinogens. Yeah, they're like, you know, cordyceps and stuff like that, and tremella and stuff. But yeah.
I've been interested in that. Is it good? Yeah, I've been interested to know they are.
There's like a brand called Dirty.
Really? Do you know what? I was on their page like this week.
Sorry, I'm certain times I'm like,
oh my God. I was on their page this week, and people was like, why are you saying it doesn't have sugar in it? They was like picking out all the negatives of Dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, well, it has coconut sugar, so it is. And I was just like, oh my God.
People are doing too much. But their coffee, like, obviously, if you're on ADHD medication, you shouldn't have coffee, you shouldn't drink alcohol, blah, blah. Yeah. But Dirty have their own brand of like mushroom coffee, and everyone's always like, what is wrong with you? But I'm like, it is so good.
And does it still give you the kick that coffee gives you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's not as
I could
strong.
Do with removing See, been, coffee been, from my life because I know it's negative.
Because when I drink coffee, I get tremors.
Yeah.
And
me too, actually.
If I drink too much, afterwards I start getting depressed and having suicidal
thoughts. Calm down.
So, yeah.
Because so it is. People don't realise how bad coffee can be. But then you kind of, well, I feel like I need it. I feel like it's like, gives me energy and keeps me going.
What about matcha? Have you tried matcha? It's actually stronger than coffee.
Really? Yeah, matcha makes me. I can't have too much of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like matcha when I've got company.
Yeah.
All right. So the term neurodivergent describes people whose brain differences affect how their brain works. That means they have different strengths and challenges from people whose brains don't have those differences. The possible differences include medical disorders, learning disabilities, and other conditions. The possible strengths include better memory, including things like visualizing 3D objects, for example, the ability to solve complex mathematical equations. Do you have that kind of pattern recognition thing?
Yes.
I have that.
Quite good at maths in school, but it was like only in certain circumstances. I think for me, pressure, like when everyone's freaking out about something, I am like clear as day. That's one thing, like I'm like, God bless ADHD, because in a crisis, I'm like, I'm the girl.
It's a simple task I can't do.
Thinking of Rain Man.
Yeah, so he's also on the spectrum. Yeah, that's a different
thing. And that was the only time growing up that you saw someone like that having something that actually benefited, like that had benefits to this sort of behavior. Because growing up, it was just always frowned upon. You was called dunce, you was called this, that, and the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, actually? So when you finally did get diagnosed, both of you, how did your family members take that?
Well, my dad then got diagnosed with ADHD because obviously it's like you inherit it like from it. And when I was going through the process and reading it, I was like, this is my dad. I was like, this is my dad. And I know my dad really, really struggled in school. Like, he's really successful now, doing so amazing for himself. And like, we are best friends. That's probably why. Like, but it's like, he struggled so much in school. He struggled so much in education. In work, sometimes he really struggled. He's a freelancer too, as well. Like, and he's just like killing it for himself now. But it was like, for him, he got diagnosed at 46. So
that's
like,
incredible that he did that though.
Amazing. Yeah, literally, as soon as I got my diagnosis, I was like, yeah, dad, I got something to tell you.
Yeah.
And he went and he got his. My mom was very much like, she kind of gave me what I think a lot of people get. Oh, you know, you did fine in school. Like, how could you have ADHD when da da da? But I was like, a lot of that stuff was kind of masking. And like the amount of work and effort that I used to put in, how kind of unkind I was to myself. Like, yes, I got the grades and yes, I made the achievements, but it was like, it's the struggle to get to that place in the, like, initially. That's what really drew me to get my diagnosis.
And I want to ask you about the therapy, because I think therapy is interesting. As in, did they pick it up when you were going through therapy before you got your diagnosis at any point? Or did you not have therapy until you got your diagnosis?
I've been in like some form of counselling since I was like maybe like 13. And I never got picked up. They just told me I was depressed. And I was like, I don't think I'm depressed. Like, I don't think I'm depressed. I was like, it's something, but I'm not depressed. And it wasn't until I kind of, when I was in work and after I'd graduated and I was like, bro, how do people get on a train and go to a job every day at 9 a.m.?
Yeah.
This is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Like,
Can I just call out what some of the actual diagnoses are, so the different type of conditions you have. So autism spectrum disorder, which used to be called Asperger's, ADHD, dyscalculia, which is difficulty with math, dysgraphia, which is difficulty with writing, dyslexia, difficulty with reading, dyspraxia, which is difficult with coordination. There's intellectual disabilities, there's mental health disorders, which are slightly different as well. So I think there's now a conversation about, do you make neurodivergent people are part of the disability conversation, because it is a fundamental difference in way, like a hidden disability. There's sensory processing disorders, there's Prader-Willi syndrome, social anxiety, which is now part of it, Tourette's and Williams syndrome. So there, and the things like OCD are also considered a part of it as well.
Yeah.
So it's a very broad conversation.
And they rarely exist on their own as well. Most people who have ADHD have ADHD and something.
The other thing is, I can see how if your ADHD is untreated, how it can become a mental health problem.
Absolutely.
Because it's such constant disconnection with yourself for so long. It happens so many different ways that it would leave you in a place of depression if it's untreated.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.